Well, here we are on a crisp spring blue sky morning in Colorado. I am outside and you can hear the traffic in the background, a train off in the distance, birds calling to each other and to the sky. And it's just a wonderful day to be alive. This is Dick Foth with Stories from the Road. And somebody's on the road. You can hear the train whistle in the background. What a time mid-April is. I mean, we've got, just sports-wise, right? We've just finished men and women's NCAA basketball March Madness. And today, this is a Thursday on which I'm recording this, starts this thing called the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia. There are all other kinds of things going on sports-wise, NBA, NHL, all of that, all around the world. And one of the things that struck me, got my attention recently, was this. My tendency is to say, well, the Masters is starting today for you golfers, and what do you want to bet it's going to come down to the final day, or perhaps the final hour, or perhaps the final hole? And the operative phrase there is, what do you want to bet? I find this fascinating. We've just come through Easter a couple of weeks back, and there's a phrase in all four accounts of the crucifixion that says this, that soldiers, and this is not an exact quote, but that soldiers gambled for Jesus' clothing at the foot of the cross. Here is someone profusely pouring out blood. They've got three people being crucified. You've got all of the mayhem and all of the stuff that's recounted in the Gospels about that day. And then this phrase is dropped in there that some guys who were responsible for the actual execution are gambling for clothes. What's this deal about gambling? When I was 17, I went through Reno in Nevada, and they've got slot machines everywhere. And they had one in the gas station. And I said, well, I got two nickels here. I'll take my chances. And I put it in there, in this slot, and I won 25 cents. And I thought, man, that's good. I think I'm on a roll. Went and bought a $2 roll of nickels and lost it all. And I believe that's the last coin or dollar that I've gambled or bet in that way over the years. And even though Scripture doesn't say thou shalt not gamble, what it does say in 100 different ways is God is saying, I've given you one life, invest it well, be a good steward, that sort of thing. But I've been amazed how much sports betting has taken off. It's just everywhere, right? There are articles about this in major newspapers all the time. What's interesting to me is that legal betting, or betting has become legal in 38 states since the Supreme Court ruling to that effect. So on March Madness, just a little factoid, in March Madness, $2.7 billion was bet legally, and the other kinds of things, office pools and all kinds of other side things, have took it up to $15 billion. Some of you listening, you know, you put $5 on the Super Bowl back in February, and 67 million Americans bet $23 billion on the Super Bowl. I just think it's a fascinating thing that we humans do. We tend to be bettors. We tend to be gamblers. You say, come on, don't include me in that big swath of painting the canvas with here. No, it's our, I don't know if it's a gift, but it's innate in us to compete, and it's innate in us to sort of bet on who's going to win in that, whether it's just verbal or whether it's monetary or it's going to be a dinner. I have a friend who's now gone on who was a tremendous golfer, and he was a believer in Jesus, and he used to bet guys on the third or fourth hole, let's see who can be closest to the pin as we come in to the green here in golfing. And he was very good, and he had a lot of times, 75% of the time, he would win these kind of competitive betting things. And he said, if you win, and usually he's playing with somebody who doesn't think about God very much or use his name unless it's in a cursing environment, he'd say, if you win, I'll buy you the best steak dinner in town. You pick the restaurant, I'm up for it. If I win, I want you to memorize just a couple of sentences, or maybe a sentence of what he called ancient writing. And that ancient sentence would turn out to be something like, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." So you got a lot of guys who otherwise wouldn't be looking at a Bible at all who lost the bet, and there you go. The reason I want to talk about this, it's in our nature in some way to take a chance. And I mean, go back to the Garden of Eden. Here's Eve and Adam who have been told you got the whole garden. You know, if you believe the story, if you think it's a myth, whatever. Fascinating, right? And God says, here's the whole garden. There's just one tree. Don't want you to eat from that one because there are great consequences. The enemy of their souls comes along and whispers, in, as the story goes, in her ear and says, really? He wouldn't do that. And Eve apparently says, well, I'll play the odds. I'll take my chances. And it didn't work out so well, I don't think. Well, for sure. I know it didn't work out well. So my point is, there are lots of phrases we use about betting or using competitive language that includes things like that. I got an ace up one sleeve, all bets are off. I'm going to break the bank. I'm going to cash in my chips. I'm going to double down. Wow, I hit the jackpot. I think I'll play the percentages. Hey, put your money where your mouth is. We got all kinds. How about this one? What are the odds? There's a fellow back in the 16th century by the name of Blaise Pascal. He was a French mathematician, a physicist, an inventor, a philosopher, and his child prodigy, very strong in math and science. And if you're a scientist, you work with language like probabilities, not absolutes, right? And a probability is the ability to measure the likelihood of a certain result. Ability to measure the likelihood of a certain result. So scientists, people who are experimenting and have theories and ideas, use probability language. I'll do this and that, and the likelihood it will turn out this way. Pascal, this French fellow, had a thing that came to be known, or has come to be known, as Pascal's wager. This is what he said. Let us weigh the gain and the loss in wagering. Are you waiting for it? In wagering that God is. That God exists. Pascal would make a case for believing in that God. In Foth paraphrase of that, if God is and you believe he is, then you win. If he is and you don't believe he is, then there's a lot to be lost. If he's not and you believe or don't believe, doesn't make any difference. But here's my thesis. My thesis is that when we follow Jesus, the odds of experiencing wonders increase, or surprises that are good. We all have surprises, good, bad, and ugly, right? Or what really counts, or experiencing joy, or having meaning or purpose, recognizing truth. I just think that there's such a powerful case to be made as I sit here looking out toward the Rocky Mountains, and I'm listening to the birds, and I'm seeing just the magnificence of the creation. I just have a great difficulty believing, well, this just kind of happened. I think that kind of happened. It did happen, but I believe there's a reason, and I believe there's a person behind it. I love telling the story of a friend I met years ago who turned out to be a mathematician, PhD from Yale in algebraic geometry, which is I can hardly spell that, but it's a very esoteric part of the mathematical world. And he ended up, years later, becoming a pastor in a local congregation. And I said, how did that come to happen? And he told me the story of how his wife had visited a little congregation when they were having trouble he and his wife were having trouble in their marriage. He said, I was a great math professor, but a terrible husband, and they would have these fights. And long story short, this pastor would come to visit them, show up at an unlikely times over a 3 or 4 month period. Knock on the door, said it was just in the neighborhood, thought I'd stop by and see how you're doing. And one time it was a midnight when she, I think, was about ready to leave, and knock on the door, and here stands this pastor saying I was in prayer, and I thought I should swing over, see if there's anything I could do. Anyway, they shoot him off the porch. And all those times that he'd come, he'd never gotten off in the house. He was always just sort of shoot off the porch as politely as they could. The upshot was that the couple was standing the next day. The heat had gone out of the argument. They were standing in the kitchen laughing. And the man, the PhD from Yale in math, standing there saying, that guy's an idiot. He's crazy. He just shows up here at the crazy. But he always shows up in here when we're having a fight. And then he paused and said, I wonder what the mathematical odds are. And he said, that's all the further I got. In that moment, I knew there was a God. We come to him in 100, 1,000, or multiplied thousands of different ways. I think the one where the PhD from Yale standing in his kitchen and says, I wonder what the mathematical odds are that God is a very cool one. That's all I have for this spring day, but I hope that you're having a wonderful day, and we pray God's best on you going forward. I think I'm just going to sit out here for a while and listen to the birds. Sounds like I'm in an aviary out here. God bless. Foth signing off from Stories from the Road. We'll catch you later. Bye-bye.